Welcome to our worship service. Each and every day, you and I can be learning something. We're never really done learning and growing in our knowledge about things. Maybe it's things at our work or things in our daily life. And we're always questioning things, wanting to learn how things work or what this means or that means. Well, when we have questions and want to learn more, maybe we talk to a friend about it that we think has experience with it. Or maybe we Google it and try and find an answer there, or ask Siri what the answer is. Lots of information out there when we ask the right questions. What about when we're asking spiritual questions? We don't want to trust Siri. We don't want to just Google it. We want to go to the source that gives us the answers about our life here and about our faith and about our salvation. And that's the Bible. We go to God's Word. Tonight we're studying the second reading, the one from 1 Corinthians, the epistle lesson, and it's the Apostle Paul that reminded the Corinthians and us that if we're looking for answers about Christian living, we turn to God's Word. Because God tells us who we are, He tells us why we're here, and He tells us where we're going someday with our home in heaven. It's the best knowledge that you and I could ever have because it tells us everything that we need to know about our salvation. We worship in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yet so often we have despised God's Word and have failed to gladly hear and learn it. For this and all our sins, we now come before our God and humbly ask for His forgiveness. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your gracious presence forever. Lord, I repent of my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. God gave His Word so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The Scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross to pay for all your sins, and rose again to assure you of your salvation. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, by the leading of a star, you revealed to the nations your one and only Son. Guide us by faith in you until we come to the perfect joys of heaven. We pray these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading is an Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 6. These are the parts in Isaiah where it's described as God's servant song, talking about Jesus coming into the world. In these verses, God reminds us that His Son would come to bring peace between us and God, to comfort God's people. And He would also come not just to save the Jews, of which Jesus was one. Jesus came to save all people from their sins and to give them that gift of salvation. Listen to me, you coastlands. Pay attention, you faraway peoples. The Lord called me from the womb. When I was inside my mother, He mentioned my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. He hid me in the shadow of His hand. He made me a polished arrow. He concealed me in His quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my glory." But I said to myself, "I have labored in vain. I spent my strength and came up empty, with nothing. Yet a just verdict for me rests with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. But now the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to turn back Jacob back to him, so that Israel might be gathered to him, so that I will be honored in the eyes of the Lord, because my God has been my strength, the Lord said, it is too small a thing that you should just be my servant to raise up only the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the ones I have preserved in Israel. So I will appoint you to be a light for the nations, so that my salvation will be known to the end of the earth. Our psalm reading is Psalm 89. This is a psalm written by David. God was faithful to David in taking care of him and keeping his promises. And this psalm is a reminder that the Lord does the same thing. He is always faithful to us. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Yes, I have said, your mercy is built to last forever. In the heavens you establish your faithfulness. The Lord said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your seed forever, and I will build your throne through all generations. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, also your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. O Lord God of armies, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful cry, Lord. They walk in the light from your face. In your name they celebrate all day long. The gospel lesson for this evening is from John 1, verses 29 to 41. When the time was right, God sent Jesus into the world, and it had been such a long time since he made that promise in the Garden of Eden, and that's why he sent John the Baptist into the world to get people ready. They were to prepare their hearts, repenting of their sins and trusting in the Savior, and they would be prepared for the Lord. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, The one coming after me outranks me because he existed before me. I myself did not know who he was, but I came baptizing with water so that he would be revealed to Israel. John also testified, I saw the Spirit descend like a dove from heaven and remain on him. I myself did not recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this myself and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was standing there again with two of his disciples. When John saw Jesus passing by, he said, Look, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned around and saw them following him, he asked, What are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He told them, Come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying. They stayed with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard John and followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his own brother Simon and say to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. God's word for our study this evening is from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, who are called as saints, along with all in every place who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus. You were enriched in him in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because the testimony about Christ was established in you. As a result, you do not lack any gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also keep you strong until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Dear fellow believers, when children are growing up, they get to be 2, 3, 4 years old, and some kids that I've known, some of my own, they start asking questions. You ever get a question from a youngster like that? How does it rain? Why is the sky blue? Why are the fish in the water? You know, they've got all these questions about things that you may be able to answer or not able to answer, or at least not explain it at that age for them. Well, it's good that they're curious and want answers for things. And sometimes we can give a good answer, and sometimes it's difficult for us to do that. When we get to be adults, we ask all kinds of questions ourselves. Maybe it's just questions about life, why this happens, why something else doesn't happen. Maybe it's spiritual questions. You know, why did the Lord do this? Why didn't he do that? What was the Lord thinking? When is judgment day coming? So many questions, and we're always looking for answers, which is good because we need to know certain things. Well, you can go a lot of places these days and look for information and try and get your questions answered. But there's really only one reliable source that you and I want to go to when it comes to our spiritual questions, and that's God's Word. God wrote his Word for us. We know it's true. He proves it's true. We have faith in that Word. And as we look at God's Word, it gives us great confidence because the Bible tells us not everything we want to know, but it tells us everything we need to know. It tells us who we are. It tells us why we're here on this earth, and it tells us where we're going. The Apostle Paul had spent a lot of time in the city of Corinth, and he wrote 2 letters to the people in the years and months after that because there were other issues for him to take care of. Corinth was such an immoral town that Paul found himself writing back to the people and showing them how these sinful things were wrong and giving them some encouragement. Our reading for tonight is actually the first part of Paul's first letter when he's been there, but now he's writing this from another place, writing back to them to give them some encouragement. And the first thing that Paul does before he starts preaching to them, so to speak, in this letter, is he reminds them who they are. He reminds them that they've been made very special people by God. And this again is what he says: to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. They were part of the church. They're part of that gathering of believers where God brings people out of the darkness of sin and into the light of faith. They're part of that group of believers. They were also sanctified. That word is used for the work of the Holy Spirit where he makes people holy and then helps them live as a Christian. So they're part of that group of believers. They have been sanctified, made holy, and now they're to live as believers. And then he says at the end, called to be holy, called to live as a Christian. Paul was reminding them that in the midst of that sinful world, their life was to be different. They were to live differently from all those other people because of what God had made them. They're part of his family of believers, made holy by the Holy Spirit, and now they've been given the ability to live like Christians in a sinful world. Then Paul says this in his address or greeting, if you will. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They had God's undeserved love. They had experienced that as God brought them to faith and blessed them in the city of Corinth. And then they had God's peace. I think of it as that inner calm security between them and God. Their sins had been forgiven. God had forgotten their sins. God was now on their side. God was there to help them through their earthly life. So as Paul begins this letter, he reminds the people, well, this is who you are. You're God's children. You have your faith. You're to live in a way that pleases the Lord. Did you notice that we're included in this too? Paul says it this way, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all those everywhere who call and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. That describes us too. When God brings us to faith, He sanctifies us. He makes us holy through the Holy Spirit. When God brings us to faith, he makes us part of the church. And think of what we say in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church. That phrase means all believers everywhere. God knows who they are. We don't necessarily know who all believers are. But we're part of that church, that invisible church that God has created by giving us faith. We're part of that. And that's a very special thing because not everyone is a part of it. Like the people in Corinth, we are sanctified. We have been justified, declared not guilty of our sins. We're very special people too. And as we live our lives in a sinful world with all the same temptations that they had in the city of Corinth, when we're living here, this is Paul's reminder to us that we're to live in a different way. We're to live in a way that honors the Lord and pleases him and follows his plan for our lives. You know what a hypocrite is? Some people say, well, it's a person who says one thing and does something different. And that would be right. I heard somebody say once that a hypocrite is a person who isn't himself on Sunday, meaning that he's one day during the other 6 days of the week, and then on Sunday acts different, you know, to look like a Christian. Well, however you describe it, being a hypocrite is not a good thing because it means you're not really serious. And in this sense, we're talking about spiritual things, not really serious about it. There's a great temptation for you and I to play the part of a hypocrite. Some of us have had our faith our whole life long, and it's easy to come in and sit down in the pew for a while and listen and pay attention and then go out the doors, back to our vehicles, and by the time we get home, that we're out of the church mode, and now we're going to live the rest of the week doing what we want. And Satan loves it. He gives us all these temptations to live in a way that pleases ourselves instead of God. It's good to remember who we are. We're God's children by faith. God has shown us his undeserved love to give us our faith and our salvation. And that's not something everyone has. It's a gift of God that he puts into our hearts. And it's not a chore for us to live like believers. It's something that we want to do. We see what love God has shown to us, and now we respond by demonstrating our love for him. The Bible tells us everything we need to know, tells us who we are, and it also tells us why God has placed us here in this world. As Paul writes this letter, and even in the first part here, he is very thankful. Paul was thankful to have the opportunity to be an apostle and share God's word with others. But he's also telling the Corinthian people that they had the reason to be thankful as well. And this is how Paul describes it. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for Jesus to be revealed. You have been blessed, Corinthians. And what's Paul thinking about? Faith. The free and full forgiveness of all of their sins. That home in heaven that was just waiting for them. Paul says, you have these gifts from God. And then he adds to that, they had been blessed in their speaking. They had the opportunity in Corinth to share God's word with others. Paul had started the churches there, and now he had gone on to somewhere else. One of the elders would have been in charge there. But these people, they could have talked all about their faith with others. Paul says, you're also blessed in your knowledge. An unbeliever can pick up my Bible that I use up here at the pulpit, and they could look at the Bible, but they're not going to be able to understand it. Paul was saying to the Corinthians, you've got all this knowledge about the Bible that many people don't have. You understand the plan of salvation because God has given you the faith to believe it. And then there was another blessing that they had. They had spiritual gifts that they could use to serve God. And if you read on in 1 Corinthians and you get to chapter 12, Paul talks a lot about those spiritual gifts. And basically, a spiritual gift is the ability that God gives a believer to serve the Lord. And so Paul is saying to the Corinthians, you can be so thankful. Look at what God has already done for you. Look at the opportunity that you have to speak to others. Look at the knowledge that you have, what you know from the Bible about what the plan of salvation is. And then think about how you can serve the Lord. These people, they had their faith, and they weren't just to sit on their faith and wait until Jesus returned. God wanted them to be busy. There was a lot of work to do. God wanted them to serve using whatever he had given them to do that. And that's why God leaves believers here on earth, so that they have the opportunity to serve him while they're waiting for the Lord. You and I also have every reason to be thankful. God has put faith into our hearts. Maybe it started at your baptism. Maybe it was at another point when you studied God's word and the Holy Spirit worked through that gospel message to bring you to faith. We have the free and full forgiveness of all of our sins, sins in the past, sins today, sins for the entire future. We have a home in heaven waiting for us that's got our name on it too, just like the Corinthians did. We have every reason to be thankful, and we show that thankfulness by speaking about our faith as well, like the Corinthians were told to do. We have the wonderful privilege of talking to them about what we know and what they need to know in their own lives. Think of the knowledge that we have. We study the Bible. We've got that opportunity our whole life long. And I'm thinking about like the Bible information class right now on Monday nights. All the things that we study and all the knowledge that's available to us so that we know exactly what God wants us to know. We see what he wants us to see, and it changes our life, changes how we live, changes what our goals are, because God's given us that knowledge. And then we also have the opportunity to serve the Lord. God gives us spiritual gifts, and we do so because we want to show our love and our thankfulness for all these things that God has done for us. What a joy to know that God tells us why we're here and gives us this opportunity to show our love and our thankfulness to him. If you ask some people what they thought the purpose of their life was, they might say it's to get rich, get a lot of money, be successful. Somebody else might say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Maybe that's their model for living life here. What's our model for living here in this sinful world? It would be easy to go along with the sinful world and say, well, I'm here for myself and to serve myself. I'm here to enjoy life. But God wants us to be concerned about something better. And it's not ourselves, and it's not things for ourselves, but it's to serve him. For us, this is our only opportunity that we have to serve the Lord, to come to faith and then to serve. And for those around us, this is their only opportunity to come to faith. There will be no other time. Judgment Day could come at any time. The end of another person's life could come at any time. The end of our life could come at any time. This is our priority, not earthly things. Jesus has told us who we are, his believers, and he's told us why we're here, and that's to serve him in the time that remains. And he's also told us where we're going when this life comes to an end. Have you noticed all the signs of the end of the world lately? You can study through Matthew chapter 24, for example. Jesus has a long list of signs there about Judgment Day. And as I worked through those a couple weeks ago with a class, all those signs are here right now. The only one that we're really not aware of is the last one where Jesus says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. We don't have any idea if that's happened yet, but it will eventually. A lot of times people have questions about Judgment Day, and they're wondering about it. And even at the Apostle Paul's time, he's talking about it with the Corinthian believers. And this again is what he said to them. You eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into his fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. God was telling the Corinthians through the Apostle Paul, Judgment Day is coming. It hasn't come yet. And as you're waiting for it, I'm going to keep you strong in your faith. But that was the goal, wasn't it? That's what they were to keep in mind. That was to be their focus, is this last day, these last times. Well, talk about a topic to have questions over, and it's Judgment Day. When's it going to come? What's it going to look like? How's all these things going to be happening? And the Bible gives us all kinds of signs of the end. Jesus returning in the clouds with all of his angels, all in his glory, raising all the dead back to life, judging all people. You know, we look forward to certain things like vacations and fun stuff. Can we really look forward to that? Can you imagine those things happening? It's unbelievable what Judgment Day is going to be like and how it's described in the Bible. And of course, the answer is yes, we can look forward to it. Because on the day that Jesus returns, he's coming back for us, his believers, and he knows who we are. On the day that Jesus returns, all the effects of sin will be gone. No more temptation, no more devil, no more opportunity to fall away, no more struggles of faith, but just that wonderful home in heaven that awaits every believer. Jesus' disciples asked him about Judgment Day once, and he told them a few of the signs. And then he says this in Luke chapter 21. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus wants us to look forward to Judgment Day, because that's the goal. We know why we're here and who we are, and then this is the goal. We know where we're going. Not staying here, going home to heaven to be with the Savior. And that's the greatest blessing of all. Jesus calls it here the final act of redemption. Jesus redeems us from sin and death and the devil, but we're still here. That final act of redemption is to get us out of this sinful world and get us to that perfect life with the Lord. We thank the Lord that he tells us everything we need to know about ourselves. We know where we're going. Have you ever experienced people that kind of guide their life with human wisdom or maybe what's popular? There's a lot of people who might feel bad about their sins, and then somebody else says, everybody sins, don't worry about it. Worldly wisdom. Maybe somebody's having trouble in their marriage and somebody else says, oh, that's okay, marriage is just a piece of paper, no big deal. Some want to know about forgiveness, and worldly wisdom says, well, you don't need to have that forgiveness. God loves everybody. It doesn't matter anyway. God loves everyone. He can't really punish people and send them to hell forever. Then people even talk about Judgment Day. Maybe someone is concerned about Judgment Day and when it's going to come. And then worldly wisdom says, well, when you're dead, you're dead. There is no afterlife. There is no heaven and hell. Worldly wisdom leads us astray. And sometimes we're tempted to follow that worldly wisdom in our daily lives, to listen to popular opinion, to do what feels good or what we think is right. We're tempted to not live in a way that honors the Lord, but takes our eyes off of the goal of heaven and puts it on the pleasures and pastimes of earthly life itself. So many times when you and I, even though we know who we are, and we know what God wants us to do, and we know where we're going, we still lose sight of what's important in our lives. So many times when we have to ask the Lord to forgive us because we forget. And that's why Paul was reminding the Corinthians and why he's reminding us. We're privileged to be children of God. We have a high calling to live in a way that pleases him. We're privileged to continue to live here and serve the Lord as we can. We're privileged because we have a home in heaven waiting for us. And that's the goal. By God's grace, he's going to keep us strong to the end. People ask a lot of questions. You and I do too. Thank the Lord that his word gives us the answer to everything we need to know. Amen.